And you might like to open your Bible to the book of Daniel and in chapter 7. And in our exercise, looking using the Old Testament to point us into the future and to have a few more pieces to understand where we're headed. So, in the light of that, here we are sitting here, and the world around us, globally, the world system, all the nations, everything's going on from China, Russia, all over, Europe, all taking place, our own country, and all the things that are happening. We don't know them, we're just here. But they're happening. And then they come to our own country where we're a little more familiar, somewhat. And that's happening. And then you go to your own local area where we are, work, home, school, play, and all the things are happening. And then you go to your own personal life, and all the things are happening. And so everyone has a different state, a different things going on in their heart, in their life. That's what they're facing. So here we are sitting here. So, and now we want to, God help us to understand, and Daniel give us a thought or two. So, in our exercise of looking at Daniel, little thought. Remember we did Daniel chapter 7. We did it all the way. Looked at each chapter quickly, and God gave the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. God gave a wonderful, wonderful outworking of the Gentile, times of the Gentiles. And that was in Daniel chapter 2. So Israel is put on the shelf. They're in unbelief. They're in unbelief today. Hasn't changed. So, and there they are. So God, what's the future look like? So here's Daniel. And Daniel is able to help Nebuchadnezzar and the vision of the man, giant image of the man in Daniel chapter 2, are working all the way from Nebuchadnezzar, all the way through Media Persia, Greece, Rome, the divided Rome to where we are today, the toes of iron and clay, and the Lord's return, which is next. So, all of that is done. And Daniel has that in front of him, and Nebuchadnezzar does. So then we went chapter 3, chapter 4, and Daniel has to go through everything. Daniel chapter 6, he ends up in the lion's den because the world system is not happy with the elevation of Daniel being at the top of the pile in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, and they're all the way to the end, actually, almost. Now, so therefore, when we come to chapter 7, we share together, in the first year of Belshazzar, 553, first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and a vision of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Now, so 50 years have gone by, approximately 51 years have gone by, and now, here's the image of a man, Daniel chapter 2, and that's how the world sees us humans, as a nation, as people, as kings, rulers, etc. That's what we see, humans. Now, how does heaven see the same humans? And Daniel has lived through Nebuchadnezzar, being at the top of the pile, head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar being the dictator of the whole ball of wax at the time. And Nebuchadnezzar in his pride, being put down and living in the field as a wild animal for 7 years. Daniel has watched all this. Now, after Nebuchadnezzar has lived in the field for 7 years as a wild animal, he's restored back to his original position. And therefore, in that original position, he honors God. Now, Belshazzar takes his couple of very quick little different men, and then Belshazzar. And Belshazzar comes along. And now, what are you going to do? Daniel tells every time, he tells you the date. Who's doing what, when, and he tells you each time the date, so you don't have to guess. In the first year of Belshazzar, and thus here's Darius the Mede in control, etc. And what are you going to tell Daniel? You're going to help Daniel has to see, understand, the outworking of that man of image is to be outworked. For not humans see all the nations rise and fall from a human viewpoint. God says heaven doesn't see it that way. Heaven sees a bunch of wild animals, wild, not tame. And Daniel chapter 7 sees the same image of man, only it translates it to help see it. The man really is a beast, a wild beast. And man isn't really running things rightly. They're running things wrongly. Wild beast, Daniel chapter 7. So as we did all that, and then as we did that, now here's Daniel is having to go through all this, experience it. So we learn from Daniel chapter 7, and in verse 15 we share together. Daniel, what's your response to this awesome image? Look at the image if I can, chapter 7. And verse 8, I consider the horns, chapter 7, verse 7. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong, exceeding, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the other beasts. It was so different from the normal wild beast. For that there were that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now that's an awesome thing. Daniel's seeing it, thinking of it, understanding it a little bit. So his response, verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved, saddened in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. It's what I see and what I'm facing. I don't understand it. I don't know why it is. I see things happening, but I don't understand them. I need to understand them. We go through things. We started out just giving a little review of it, remember. You go through our worlds like that, our days like that. And one day it's one thing, next day it's something else. And we go through them, and we respond and react to them. That's what Daniel's doing. Is that right or wrong? We respond to them, and it often knocks us off our chair. And we get uncomfortable and discouraged and mad and sad and everything else. So, now, chapter 8. And in chapter 8, we had, as you know, so you don't have to guess, chapter 8 has to do with the Media Persia and Greece. And thus, if I can, this is in the third year, chapter 8, in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, 550. So, now, sliding along, chapter 8, if I may, and verse 20, the ram which thou sawest, having the horns are the kings of Media and Persia, the two nations. Verse 21, the rough goat in the chapter 8 is the king of Greece and Alexander the Great, etc. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now, so you don't have to guess about that. Now, Daniel is going from that, chapter 7, and then has chapter 8. Now, how are you doing, Daniel? Chapter 8, you remember, verse 27. And I, Daniel, fainted, and was sick certain days afterwards. I arose up and did the king's business. I was astonished at the vision, and none understood it. I don't understand. It's just bad, and then bad, and more bad. Nothing's working out. I don't see solution. I don't see the answer. So here's Daniel getting more information, and as he does, he's getting that. So now we come over to chapter 9. And so Daniel, what are you lacking? You need to go to the next page. History is moving. When we came in, even to this being this gathering, when you go out the door, everything that happened in here is all gone. Never to be repeated. All gone. History, the clock, and the calendar have taken it away. It's all gone. All gone. So we need to understand. Otherwise, we get caught up in one thing, and then the next thing piles up, and we have it. So we've got to go and make sure we don't let our life burdens and bothers pile up, as it were. And then we're having to carry them. And we let that happen more and without knowing it often. Now, chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Azarias, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood. Now here's Daniel going again, in the first year of his reign. And Daniel is going to have some more help. Now Daniel's not having some, he doesn't understand things. They're piling up. He's getting all of this. You want to keep putting, if you have a puzzle, and it's a 5,000 piece puzzle, make believe again, and you're trying to take the pieces together. If you pick up a piece and just put the piece down, and another piece comes, and you put that piece down, and you pick the pieces up, look at them, and put them down. You aren't doing anything. What are you doing? You're picking up the pieces, you experience them, and you put it down. It is nothing's connected together. You should be connecting together so the pieces aren't repeated. You want to put the piece to the next piece that you could find, and you put the pieces together. So you're having less pieces instead of doing a repetition. I do the same thing, I say the same thing, I do it over and over and over and over again, and I never get anywhere. I never get anywhere. So I want to be able to put pieces, and I need understanding. Daniel, you're getting a piece and a piece and a piece. They need to go together. So therefore, here's Daniel in the time of Darius. And verse 2. In the first year of the reign of Darius, I understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Jerusalem would be in ruins, the Jews would be in the bottom of the pile, and the Gentiles would be on top, and it would be that way. It would be that way. And now what are you doing, Jeremiah? And what, you remember the Magi in Matthew chapter 2 that came from this same area? And they came. What were they doing? What did people do that were in that power? What would you do? They're taking all the different writings that were given, that they found, and read different country telling different parts of history as it was written, and they'd keep gathering them and write them. That's how history came. And they kept doing that. And then what did now, what did Daniel do? Which they did, that's how they followed the star. Now, what did Daniel do? Well, Daniel went and he, here's all the copies, here's the Old Testament, here's all the books, here's Isaiah, here's Jeremiah, and Daniel went and say, hey, what's this one? Jeremiah. He pulled it out and read it. That's what he did. He could have read it the day before, but he didn't read it. No, he didn't know. He didn't. He just picked the Jeremiah, and what did he do? When you don't have an answer and you have a question, go to God's word. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. God is going to put the pieces together. So, Daniel, that's what Daniel did. He put the book out, and it was the book of Jeremiah. Now, over to just to see that and keep that in your mind. What did he see? Remember, you know all these things because we did Jeremiah. Over to Jeremiah chapter 25. And in Jeremiah chapter 25, and you'll note in verse 11. Now, here, just think if you, here you wanna, here we are looking at it. Well, Daniel is going to look at the same thing you're looking at. That's what I want you to see. He had the same Bible you're looking at. And he's using it. Now, therefore, verse 11, chapter 25. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And the whole little section, 70 years. And keep reading that. And then you go over, if you can, chapter 29. Just to pick up the thought, because he's turning the pages, which is what we're doing. And in chapter 29, picking up in verse 10. For, chapter 29, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And you keep reading, wonderful, you're going to seek me with all your heart and you're going to find me, at least you'll be able to do so. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, add chapter 36, to remind yourself and me, us, chapter 36. And in chapter 36, verse 2, you remember, Jeremiah was trying to help the king back then, Zedekiah and all of that, in that time of history. So he took the book and had Jeremiah gave all these messages. Jeremiah was then the prophet. Verse 2, and take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, against Judah, against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the day of Josiah, even unto this day. I want you to do all of that. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you can, over to verse 27. And now what did the king do in the whole chapter 6? He was given the book. The book of Jeremiah in your hand was read to him. And he ripped page after page and burned it. He burned the book. Now, hang on, just to remind you, chapter 36, sliding down to verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, the book, and the words which Baruch wrote in the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words. In other words, write everything you wrote in the first book, first time, and now add all the other things that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. Verse 29, and thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from henceforth man and beast. And they didn't want to see it again. He wrote it again. Point. God gave his word all the way through history. And in your Bible, we're this part of history where we have the ending revelation and all the pile of them. And so all of God's people in God's place, in God's time, used the God's word as they had it. And that's what they did. Now, and so I want to use it, because what am I going to do? What are we doing? We're looking for an understanding of how to work out our life. Here we are on planet Earth for a few days. And our life, we're trying to work it out. So we want to have it. We're watching history work. We've read. We already know history. History is history. Tomorrow's coming up. That's more history coming up. But we haven't got there yet. We're here. So I want to understand. So I would be stupid if I don't go to the God's word that has already helped everybody on the journey to ever asking all the questions through history. They had the answers by turning the pages of God's word, and God kept giving them information. So here we are over in chapter, and by the way, you can do that too, over if again in chapter 23, just where you're in Jeremiah, to remind you and myself. Jeremiah and chapter 23. And you'll pick up the thought in 23, picking up in, go over to, if I can, to verse, well, maybe I won't do that. Verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I cannot see? See him, saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. I know everything. I know what's going on, and I give you my word, inch by inch, all the way down as you go down the corridor of time to understand. So back over to Daniel chapter 9. And in Daniel chapter 9, here's Daniel reading, and he has the wonderful benefit. Now remember now, when Daniel's getting this, chapter 9 is about 2 years before the 70 years are up. So as he's reading this, he looks at his calendar and he has 605 where he was taken captive and 70 years. There's only 2 more years. And the 70 years are up. Only 2 more years. And the 70 years are up. Wow. And it gets going. And what does he do? He says, God, you got to help us. So is prayer. And therefore, chapter 9, picking up, please. And if I can, in chapter 9, verse 4. And I prayed unto the Lord, my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to keep to them that keep his commandments. And we have sinned. All the way through, he's going to say, listen, we are one guilty, because he's what? He's lived all these years watching Nebuchadnezzar conquer the city, dominate. Israel's no more. Israel's at the bottom of the pile. He's lived through it. He said, and we deserve it. He said, we did it. We just didn't honor you, God. So, in verse 5, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. And you can keep reading all over the place. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We're guilty as can be. That's what he's saying, God. God, what you've done for 70 years is very good. We deserved it. We deserved every bit of it. So, and you've been gracious to us. So again, verse 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. No, we didn't do that. We never turned to you, God. That's the trouble. That's why Nebuchadnezzar could take the city. Verse 14, therefore, the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his ways, in all his works, which he had doeth. For we obeyed not, N-O-T, his voice. Verse 15, and now, O Lord, our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Israel, out of Egypt, with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renowned, as at this day. We have sinned, we have done wickedly, etc. Sliding down verse 19. I'll read verse 17 even. Now therefore, now our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary. God, look, here's a ruined sanctuary in Jerusalem. Look at it. And God, it's in desolation, verse 18. Verse 17, for the Lord's sake, God did it to judge, to awaken Israel, to get them back into the fellowship, to get them saved. Verse 18, O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before you for thee, for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. God, we aren't trying to say, because we deserve anything, God be merciful to us. Verse 19, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken and defer for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Thy city, it's your city, they're your people, it's your lane, your name, it's all about you, God. So if you let it all go, you've got to be honored, and don't let us mess up your holy, heavenly, happy name. Don't let us louse up you, who you are, God. Now, so therefore, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so therefore we come to verse 20. Now, while I was yet speaking and praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain for the holy mountain of my God. So here I am, I'm confessing the sin. They aren't saying it, I'm going to say it, God. We're sinned. We're guilty as can be. You're absolutely right in what you did. And God, that's my supplication. So that's his Daniel. And Daniel straightway laid it out before God in his most wonderful way. So God in his wonderful grace, has given his wonderful word. And Jeremiah was able to write, and Daniel was able to read. And he read, and it helped him. God was working something out, and within a couple of years, God's going to set the people free. Now, that's a big help. So, now God, is that depress you, Daniel? No, that's encouragement. That's encouragement. If you didn't read chapter 9 and didn't read Jeremiah, would you be encouraged? No, you would never know chapter 9. Chapter 9 wouldn't exist. You wouldn't know it. And you'd be living with whatever you know in your head and heart, because you never added any more pieces. You never put anything together. And you live with what you do. You didn't put things together. You don't put them together, there's nothing. I've been in church for 55 years. Very good. Very good. How many pieces have you got? How big is your puzzle? How big is the picture of your understanding of God's word? See, picture of it. I got it. Well, if you don't have that, you haven't done that, then that's sort of discouraging. So therefore, what are we going to do, God? My present now needs then. God, I need the next piece. I need to put the pieces together. And therefore, I need to turn the pages of your word. I need to read your word. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. Turn the pages again. Did you read Psalm 23? Oh yeah, I read Psalm 23 23 years ago. Say, that's good. Why don't you try reading it again? Why don't you try reading it again? Why don't you try opening and do it again? Otherwise, you're going to do the same dumb things in the same way that you don't need to do. And God isn't, as long as you want to keep doing them, you'll keep doing them till you want to fix it. Don't want to understand? You'll live the same way, and next month you still won't understand because you don't want to understand. Do you really want to understand and have the pieces? So, now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so the exercise of our little heart maybe, what's missing? What's missing when we don't get the next piece? What's missing when we do have a piece? Every piece, every bit of knowledge we get from God and his word requires the next piece. So what do I know? I always know the whole puzzle is complete. I know the whole picture is done. There's nothing out of place. So when God comes in the tribulation and God creates a new heavens and a new earth, everything was in place for all of that to happen. Everything. So God, we're going to look to you. You have everything in place. So I just have my little piece. So God, I know I've got to have more pieces. I've got to keep adding pieces so I don't keep doing the same things over and over again. And I never get any help. I don't get any understanding. And I don't go anywhere. I just keep going around like whatever you have. Remember the cages where you put the animal in and just runs? That's runs. And you tell the animal, make headway, won't you? And the rats, whatever it is, and it keeps running, absolutely going nowhere. We humans tend to do that. Just keep going, where are you going? I'm going. Boy, am I working at it. Yeah, but you're going nowhere. When you're all done, you haven't gone anywhere. What's the sense? Well, I'm trying. I'm sincere. God bless you. Sincerity won't save you. It won't help you. Christ saves you. And you got to turn to him. He didn't ask you to. And what did he do with all, and you know, all these things? And what did he do? God, tell us. God says, and God says, why don't you help discuss with, let's have a discussion about your background. Do you remember reading that? That is in Ezekiel 99. God doesn't say that. He never says that. He said, I took care of it and I crucified it. I don't talk about it. I buried it. When I saved you, I have buried all of your background and you're free. So don't talk to me about, well, I gotta tell him, no, I don't. I need to thank God that he's done with it. I need to be done with it. I need to finish it. I'm the one, not God. Now, hang on to that. So therefore, what do we need? Over if we can, a little exercise maybe in the minutes we have. God help us. So, and you remember you don't have to go there, Ecclesiastes 3 and all that. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time for everything. Time to love, a time to hate, et cetera, et cetera. Now, so therefore, over if you can in your Bible, over to the book, to Romans in chapter 15. Romans in chapter 15. Now, God, here we are reading your word, and we're trying to get the pieces. We need to have more pieces. Otherwise, we don't go anywhere. So chapter 15 of Romans. And you would recall, chapter 15, may I go, if I can, in verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, Jeremiah and Daniel chapter 9, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. What for? That we, through this patience, bearing up under the load, not dropping it, carrying it a little further, bearing, enduring, that we, through impatience and comfort, encouragement of the Scriptures, might have four little letters, a major, major word, hope, that you might have hope. Whatever you are, you're moving to the next minute, you're moving to the next day, like it or not. And you're going to, what you have now and what you're facing now is one thing. What you face tomorrow morning is another. We're moving. So therefore, the one word that puts it all together for us is to have hope, anticipation, expectation as we go forward. Because we have to leave the trouble, the worry, the want, the headache, the heartache. We have to leave it in order to go forward. We're going to go forward anyway. Either we can take it and carry it into the next day, or we can leave it and go forward. God, tomorrow, I have to leave now. I have to leave whatever the problem is happening right now and move into tomorrow. I haven't got to tomorrow, but I have to move to tomorrow. History has to work itself out. My history has to work itself out. Now, having said that, verse 4, Now the God of patience, bearing up under the load, and consolation, comfort, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. That's what was said in the prayer. We're trying to have one heart, one mind. That's what we're doing here. We're trying to be on the same page with God, to have the same benefits, so that we show by way of our, what are we doing? We're all enjoying God's, we are all to be enjoying an increasing understanding of our lot and our life this minute. And that's what we're seeking to do as we go. And that's what the whole, you can pray, you can have 10,000 prayer requests. And when you're all done with prayer requests, God bless them. when you're all done with them. And we try, and then we say, pray for this, pray for that. And then you wait 10 years. But when you're waiting for the answer, dear God, doesn't going to say anything. You don't do anything. So we get tired of saying the same thing over and over again. So God, you never said this. In fact, you told us, God, please don't say the same thing over and over again. That's what you told us. Please don't do that. You only have to do that when you want Philippians 4:6, and everything by God, you're going to go in supplication. When we got a real problem, we give it to God. And we don't go, here's our problem, we give it to God. Thank you, God. And we take it back and carry it home and worry about it. And God, and next time we're going to say, God, thank you. Thank you for, I'm going to trust you. And I put it back in my pocket. I didn't leave it with God. And we've done it all the time. You guys know this stuff. I told you, take your problem, write it out on a piece of paper that you can read, and put it on a piece of paper, and stick it in your Bible, and close the Bible, and say, where is your problem? In God's Word, for God to take care of. Keep it in your Bible. Little practice. Say, may seem silly to you, but you got to do silly things to learn. That's how you learn. You won't learn them with some highfalutin thing, because we never do it. You got to practice something, understand something. Therefore, verse 13. Now the God of hope, the God of hope, yeah, the scriptures of hope, the God of hope, expectancy. Mm-hmm. He got all the pieces. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's right. You got to be believing that in order that you may abound in, what are you going to abound in? Expectancy, hope. That's what you're going to abound in. Where's the hope? The hope of the scriptures. Where's the hope of the scriptures? In God, the hope, God who is hope. God, the God of hope, gives you hope by way of his word, and the Spirit of God's going to go. And as you lay, trust God, believe in God, rest in God, then God, you're going to abound in hope. And how can you possibly abound in hope? Because we're us humans. God didn't ask you to trust yourself in hope. The end of verse 13. Through may abound in hope through the means, the power of the Holy Ghost. God is full of hope in Christ, in the Spirit of God. And when I trust God, the Spirit of God is going to bring the expectancy and the surety of all that's going to happen. He brings it solidly, and all I have to do is say thank you and believe and thank God and leave it. God, because it isn't me making it. It isn't my making something expectant and anticipating. It's God doing it. The Spirit of God's doing it. And that's what I got to trust. The Spirit of God. I don't have the power to do it, neither do you. No offense to you. You don't have it. You can't do it. It ain't going to happen in your life. You have to let God do it. And either you're going to do it or you're not. Otherwise, you keep holding it. That's your fault. You can't blame anybody else. You have to blame yourself. Now, having said that, or the Holy Ghost, now how's that going to happen? Over to chapter 5, as you know. Chapter 5. And picking up, if I may, in chapter 5, may I go, verse 2. I'll have to read verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. How are we going to have hope in the glory of God? When you got saved, how did you get saved? You got saved because Christ, you received Christ as your Savior. And the That's wow, God in Christ in you. And what have we got? God, no one ever heard of that. Now God said, I know it. Colossians chapter 1, 26, 27. It's a mystery. No one ever heard of it. No one could ever believe it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said, no one would ever believe what I did. Abraham never understood that. Neither did Daniel. But you experience it. It's a mystery. I did it in my grace. Now, having said that, the point. And the hope of the glory of God. And not only, as you know, so, but we glory in tribulations, trouble, squeezing, pressing, easy, hard, much, little, bittersweet. Also knowing that the tribulations worketh patience, bearing up under the load. The patience of the scriptures give hope. We're very sure. I know whatever. I'm going to go to the next day, one way or the other, in heaven or here. That's where I'm going, and I have no question about that hope in my heart and your heart. I'm guaranteed the next day. It's my guarantee, and nothing can stop it except my death or God take me home. But apart from that, I'm headed for tomorrow. That's where I'm going, and no one's going to stop it. And God's looking for me to get there, then, now to then. You want to understand? Keep getting the pieces. And the more pieces you get, the better you'll understand. Now, so therefore, chapter 5, worketh patience, verse 3, verse 4. And in patience, experience, the exercise. You had the, you know the expression, the college of hard knocks. That's how you learn. You stumble down, you fall down, you make a mistake, you make 10,000 mistakes. That's how you learn. That's how you learn anything. That's how you learn. You grow up. You have to grow up. You stumble around, and that's how you learn to walk. You ran, walk a little bit, you know, and fall down and bump your head, get a bloody nose, whatever you do. And you learn to walk. And you walk. You walk till you get older, and then you can't walk anymore. So, but you got the idea. So therefore, patience, experience, and experience going through the exercise of learning, and you get a whole lot of experience. You learn by experience. And what do you know by experience? What do I know? I know when I go to bed, tomorrow's coming, ready or not. I learned that. I went to bed a whole lot of times, and now when I go to bed, I expect tomorrow's going to be there. I don't have to ever question him. I may not get there, but tomorrow's going to be there now. So therefore, patience, experience hope. And what about hope? And hope maketh not ashamed. Because, why aren't we ashamed? Because the love of God is shed abroad. Where is God loving me? In your heart, in your hearts. Now God, the hope comes from the Spirit of God. Now, where's the love coming from? The end of verse 5, hearts by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you. The Spirit, we think of what we're doing in Sunday school. The Spirit of God's awesome ministry. That's what his ministry is. And you are looking to God to outdo it. And that's what he's going to do. So God, Daniel, you have to keep getting pieces. Are you done, Dan? No, Daniel's going to get clipped again. He's going to get clipped. So we get clipped again. But boy, Daniel, you're going to come out all right. Yeah. Anyway, got a little bit.